Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Proxy God, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Gospel of Wealth. I built a religion out of lies. And the best part, they paid me for it. Religion, like any business, thrives on two things, desperation and spectacle. People crave meaning. They yearn for structure, for purpose, for a hand to guide them when life spirals into chaos. And if you can package that purpose, if you can make it shiny enough, mystical enough, they'll pay you to lead them. They'll beg you to take their money, their faith, their very identity. Alistair Greaves was already a god to them, long before I gave them a church to kneel in. He had everything a deity needed. A face sculpted by genetics and wealth, a mind that understood power better than the politicians who feared him, and an empire built on technology, influence, and just enough mystique to make him feel untouchable. The Greaves principles, his self-help empire, had turned him into a prophet of modern capitalism. Every tech startup worshipped his philosophies. Every entrepreneur memorized his speeches like they were scripture. When he spoke, boardrooms and stock markets trembled. When he tweeted, entire industries pivoted. He was more than a billionaire. He was belief incarnate. And I saw an opportunity. I created the Church of Divine Prosperity. It started humbly, as all great scams do. A simple online community, a network of believers who already followed Greaves's financial gospel. His words were scripture to them. I merely built the altar. At first, it was just a whisper, a murmur in digital spaces. I crafted posts, fake testimonials, rumors that Alistair Greaves's success was not merely genius, but divine intervention. That the reason he thrived, the reason every investment he touched turned to gold, was because he had unlocked sacred knowledge. Wealth is not random. I preached in forums, on social media, in carefully curated think pieces. Wealth is divine, and Alistair Greaves is proof. The desperate listened. The desperate always listen. It wasn't long before I held my first gathering. A small conference room in a luxury hotel, paid for by an anonymous benefactor. 40 believers, dressed in expensive suits or last-ditch rental finery, clutching notebooks, hanging on to every word. I walked in calm, dressed in the kind of tailored perfection that screamed untouchable. I took the stage, cleared my throat, and spoke into the microphone. We stand at the precipice of a new awakening. Silence. The world has lied to you. They told you wealth was about luck, about hard work. But that is the deception of the weak. Money is divine, and those who understand its truth are chosen. I let the words hang, watching their eyes widen. Alistair Greaves is not merely a man, I continued, lowering my voice to a reverent hush. He is the conduit of prosperity, the divine architect of abundance, and he has left us the keys to follow. Gasps. One man, a former Wall Street executive who had lost everything in a fraud investigation, wept. That was the moment I knew. I had them. Within 6 months, the Church of Divine Prosperity was no longer just an idea. It was an empire. I rented a massive building, the temple, as we called it. Marble floors, gilded arches, gold-trimmed banners that bore Alistair's face in profile, gazing toward the heavens. I wrote our holy text, a manifesto compiled from Greaves's speeches, interviews, and articles, twisted just enough to form doctrine. The tides rolled in. The faithful gave. They wired donations. They signed over assets. They liquidated savings accounts in the belief that sacrificial wealth leads to divine wealth. I employed financial angels to manage the funds, an elite group of accountants and offshore experts who ensured that every dollar was filtered directly into the church's holdings, my holdings. And then, the final step, Alistair Greaves himself. Of course, he had no idea what I had built in his name. He wasn't even aware we existed. But that was perfect. A true God does not descend from his throne to explain himself to mortals. His silence was our proof. The followers devoured it. If he is not God, then why does he not deny it? A few skeptics tried to reach out to Greaves, to his representatives. they were met with silence. Not because of any divine intervention, because Alistair Greaves simply did not care. He had no reason to address a cult he hadn't created. "He does not need to acknowledge us," I preached, "because the divine does not justify itself to non-believers." And they believed. By year two, our congregation numbered in the hundreds of thousands. Our compounds spread across three continents. I sat in gold-lined offices, sipping vintage whiskey, while men and women begged me for financial salvation. The church advised investments, charged for divine consultations, held extravagant galas where the faithful proved their devotion through extravagant offerings. And I had it all. Until Alistair Greaves died. Suddenly. Unexpectedly. A heart attack at 47. The world grieved. The stock market shook. And the Church of Divine Prosperity collapsed overnight. People panicked. If Greaves was divine, if he was the path to limitless prosperity, then why had he died? Doubt spread like a virus. Tide stopped. Investors pulled out. I saw my empire crumbling. I had one shot. One last miracle to save my church. So I did what any self-respecting prophet would do. I faked a resurrection. Chapter 2, The Second Coming, and a Fog Machine. A resurrection isn't just a magic trick. It's a miracle. And miracles need preparation. The Church of Divine Prosperity was crumbling. The moment Alistair Greaves's death made headlines, panic consumed the faithful. The emails flooded in. "Pastor, what does this mean? How could he die? Did we believe in a lie? Doubt is a disease. It spreads faster than faith. If I didn't act immediately, I wouldn't just lose the church. I'd lose everything. I needed a resurrection. But not just any resurrection. This had to be biblical. I had 3 days to turn a dead billionaire into a living god. The plan. I locked myself in my office with my inner circle, the most ruthless, loyal manipulators I had cultivated in the church. Enforcers. Financial architects. A couple of ex-Hollywood special effects wizards I had hired for media campaigns. "We need a second coming," I told them. They stared at me. "Greaves is dead," one of my advisors said flatly. "We can't bring back a corpse." "No," I agreed. "But we can bring back the idea of him." I laid out the plan. Step 1. Manufacture the divine prophecy. Before Greaves had even been laid in the ground, we flooded social media with whispers, hints, prophecies, signs. The rebirth is coming. Cryptic messages appeared in our church forums, seeded by fake accounts. Did anyone else notice the clock stopped at exactly 11:11 when he passed? A dream told me he would return on the third day. Look at this screenshot. His last tweet has hidden numerology in it. The faithful devoured it. Step 2. Create the divine event. I needed a stage. I needed spectacle. We planned the ascension ceremony, a massive gathering, streamed globally, where we would witness the return of Alistair Greaves. The Temple of Divine Prosperity was packed. Thousands of believers in the Grand Hall, cameras ready, media lurking at the edges, skeptics waiting for something to go wrong. Step 3. Make it real. I had my team work on the resurrection itself. We couldn't use a simple video or AI-generated voice. No, this had to be undeniable. We designed a holographic projection, mixed with strategically placed smoke and lighting effects. The voice, a perfectly trained AI, stitched from hours of Alistair's speeches, fine-tuned by experts to breathe like him, to pause, to command. It would be perfect. It had to be. The ceremony. The temple doors opened at exactly 11:11 p.m. The faithful flooded in, clutching copies of the Greaves principles, murmuring prayers for their God's return. I stood at the front, dressed in ceremonial robes, bathed in golden light. Cameras rolled. "My people," I said, voice solemn. "Tonight, we stand at the threshold of the impossible." I could feel the energy in the air, hope, terror, desperation. "The world tells us he is dead," I continued, pacing the stage. "But we know better, don't we? Because the divine does not die." The murmurs turned into a roar. "And if the world does not believe," I raised my hands, then let them see. Right on cue, the lights dimmed. A low rumble filled the temple, vibrating through the floors. Subwoofers hidden in the walls simulated an earthquake. Some of the faithful gasped, clutching their seats. Then fog. Thick, rolling mist spread across the altar, hiding the stage, swallowing the podium. I stepped back, heart pounding. The whispers turned to screams as the hologram appeared. Alistair Greaves, whole, alive, radiant, stepped forward through the fog. His arms outstretched. His suit immaculate. His smile divine. Gasps turned to weeping. Do not be afraid. His voice, perfect, resonant. The congregation fell to their knees. I have conquered death, he boomed, his deep voice echoing through the temple. I felt the weight of belief shift in the room. Doubt evaporated. I stepped forward, trembling, playing my role perfectly. Speak, my lord, I whispered. Tell us of your journey. The hologram smiled. The journey was dark, he said, but I have returned with knowledge beyond mortal comprehension, and I bring you a message. Silence. The room held its breath. Faith is not enough. Eyes widened. We must prove our devotion. We must build the foundation for the new kingdom. Wealth is divine, but faith without action is meaningless. I nodded. Perfect. You must give, he continued, not just with your words, but with your wealth. The faithful shall be rewarded. The doubters shall be left behind. And just like that, they cheered. The resurrection was real. And my empire was reborn. The aftermath. By dawn, the Church of Divine Prosperity was stronger than ever. The resurrection video went viral. Donations tripled overnight. Members returned in droves, pouring in their life savings to prove their faith. The media debated whether it was a hoax, but it didn't matter. The faithful had seen it with their own eyes. I was untouchable again, or so I thought. 3 days later, a man walked into my office. He didn't knock. He didn't announce himself. He just stood there, staring at me. I felt my stomach drop, because he had Alistair's face. Not the hologram. Not a deepfake. Real skin. Real eyes. Real flesh. He smiled. You've been busy, Pastor. I swallowed. Who the fuck are you? His smile widened. Who do you think? I froze. My mind raced. I knew it couldn't be real. Alistair Greaves was dead. I had seen the reports. I had seen the autopsy photos. And yet, he stepped closer. I must say, he murmured, I admire your work. The resurrection? The smoke, the spectacle? Inspired. But you made one mistake. I clenched my fists. Oh yeah. He leaned in, his breath warm. You forgot that real gods don't stay dead. He slid a slip of paper across my desk. I picked it up. It was a banking instruction. A Swiss account number. And an amount. $10 million. My miracle, he said softly, is that I know where all your money is. And I want my cut. He leaned back, eyes gleaming. Congratulations, Pastor. You didn't resurrect a god. You just built a throne for one. Chapter 3, The Clone's Demand. A good con is built on control. You predict reactions. You manipulate outcomes. You create the illusion of inevitability. But standing across from me, smirking like the devil himself, was a variable I had not accounted for. Alistair Greaves was dead. And yet, he sat in my office. Alive. I had studied his face 1,000 times, memorized every public photo, every interview, every perfectly tailored smirk. The man in front of me was not just a lookalike. He was him. Or at least, something close enough. A living god, and a dead prophet. You look like you've seen a ghost, he said, lowering himself into the leather chair across from my desk. My mind was racing. Who the fuck are you? I finally asked. He smiled. I already told you. No, you didn't, I snapped. You waltzed in here, dropped a Swiss bank account on my desk, and started talking like I owed you something. Now, I'm going to ask again. Who the fuck are you? He leaned back, exhaling like a man utterly amused by my confusion. You should be grateful, Pastor. I just gave you a second miracle. You resurrected me, and now I'm here in the flesh. I gritted my teeth. You're not Alistair Greaves. I don't know what game you're playing, but... You're half right, he interrupted. I'm not Alistair Greaves. Not exactly. That pause. That single, surgical hesitation. My stomach dropped. No. No fucking way. Cloning, I whispered. His smirk widened. Now you're catching up, he said. The words tasted like metal in my mouth. That's not possible. Of course it is. Money gets you miracles. My mouth was dry. Bullshit. He raised an eyebrow. Is it? And just like that, he reached into his pocket and slid something across my desk. A USB drive. Take a look, he said. I hesitated, then snatched it up, plugged it into my computer. I didn't have faith in much, but one thing I knew. The world was built on receipts. If this was a scam, if this man was just another snake trying to squeeze money from me, the proof would betray him. Files loaded. Documents. Medical reports. Images. And then a video file. I clicked play. The screen flickered to life. A lab. Sterile white. Cryogenic pods lining the walls. The camera panned to a man, the man sitting in front of me, lying unconscious in a glass chamber, machines monitoring vitals. Scientists in lab coats hovered over screens, murmuring. One turned to the camera, adjusting her glasses. Subject 001, Alistair Greaves replication complete. Memory transfer at 62% synchronization. Expected stabilization within 48 hours. The video ended. I felt like the floor had disappeared beneath me. Believe me now. I looked up at him. His eyes burned with amusement. You're telling me the real Alistair Greaves had a fucking clone? Had. No, Pastor. Has. And I'm sitting right in front of you. My pulse pounded. I was looking at a fucking resurrection. Not a hologram. Not AI. Not a trick. A real one. Which meant, what do you want? I finally asked. His grin sharpened. What do you think? He tapped the paper still sitting on my desk. The Swiss account. The 10 million. You built a religion in my name. You made millions using my face, my voice, my legend. That means you work for me now. My fists clenched. You're out of your goddamn mind if you think I'm just handing over. No, he said, leaning forward. You're out of your mind if you think you have a choice. I swallowed the anger. Stayed calm. Because I could already see where this was going. And I wasn't about to let some fucking lab experiment take my throne. The prophet versus the god. Let's be clear, I said, folding my hands. You have proof of your existence. You have medical records, a video, and some very expensive science backing you. But you don't have power. His smirk didn't waver. And power isn't about who you are. It's about who people believe in. I leaned forward, voice dropping to a knife's edge. And right now, they believe in me. He chuckled. That's cute. But tell me, Pastor, how long do you think that will last when they see me? When they see their God, walking, talking, breathing. I laughed. And that made him pause. Oh, you don't get it, do you? I said. You think this is about being Alistair Greaves? You think showing up is enough? Let me teach you a lesson about faith. I stood up, walked around my desk. You know what happens when gods appear? They get challenged. They get doubted. People want proof. I leaned down, inches from his face. And the first time you make a move, the first time you step into the light, do you know what's going to happen? Silence. I smiled. I'll call you a fraud. His eyes narrowed. I'll tell them you're a scam artist trying to impersonate our God. I'll call press conferences, drop evidence, release footage of your lies. I'll make you the imposter. I'll make you the false prophet. And when I'm done, you won't just be nothing. I grinned. You'll be hunted. His smirk was gone. For the first time since he walked in, I saw a flicker of something else in his expression. Doubt. Good. Because I was not losing my fucking empire. The first move. We stared at each other, locked in a silent war of wills. Then finally he laughed. All right, he said, standing up, buttoning his jacket. I like you, Pastor. You've got balls. He walked toward the door, paused. But you made a mistake. Yeah. I said. What's that? He turned. You think this is a battle of faith. But I don't need them to believe in me. I frowned. He smiled. I just need them to doubt you. And just like that, he was gone. I sat there, silent, staring at the empty doorway. Because I knew. I had two options. Pay him. Destroy him. And I wasn't about to pay a single fucking cent. This wasn't a negotiation anymore. This was war. And I wasn't about to let a god take the throne I built. Chapter 4, The Prophet's Dilemma. I built an empire out of smoke and mirrors. Now a real ghost had walked through my door and demanded his cut. Alistair Greaves, or whatever the fuck he was, had left me with a simple ultimatum. Pay him $10 million or risk him tearing down everything I built. But I didn't spend years manipulating, scheming, and rewriting reality just to roll over when a science experiment decided he wanted a throne. This wasn't about money. It wasn't even about power. This was about control. And I wasn't about to let some clone son of a bitch take control from me. I had three options. Pay him. Not happening. Kill him. Complicated, but not impossible. Outmaneuver him. My specialty. The problem was, I didn't know what he knew. Did he have other people backing him? A hidden team? A contingency plan? I couldn't just make a move blindly and hope for the best. I needed to study him first. Then I'd bury him. The shadow war begins. I didn't sleep that night. I sat in my office, fingers steepled, mind racing through every possible scenario. Every scam, every manipulation tactic, every psychological weapon I had ever used, none of them applied to this. This was uncharted territory. I needed more information. I needed leverage. By dawn, my inner circle was in my office. My enforcers, my fixers, the people who did the things that made our empire possible. Find out everything about him, I ordered. Where he's staying, who he's talking to, whether he's made any moves. I want his weaknesses, his vulnerabilities. And most of all, asterisk I leaned forward, voice turning razor sharp, I want to know if anyone else knows he's alive. If he had no witnesses, then I had an opening. I could control the narrative. I could turn him into a fraud before he turned me into one. Hunting a god. It didn't take long to track him. He was holed up in a penthouse suite in the city. No entourage. No security. Just him. That meant one thing. He hadn't revealed himself to the public yet. He was waiting for me to react. Good. That meant I had the advantage. I sent two of my men, trusted professionals, to shadow him. No contact. No threats. Just watch. Learn his movements. Find his habits. 3 hours later, I got my first report. He's alone, my enforcer told me over the phone. No staff, no visitors. He hasn't made any public statements. Just sitting there waiting. Waiting for me. He was testing me. Seeing if I'd cave. I wasn't going to. Keep watching him, I ordered. If he makes a move, I want to know before he takes his second fucking step. I hung up. My mind was already assembling the next phase. Time to go on the offensive. The Art of War, religious edition. I called a press conference. My people, I said, standing before my followers, my voice filled with righteous sorrow, an imposter walks among us. Gasps. A deceiver. A clone, created by the faithless to steal what is divine. Outrage. Weeping. I showed proof, carefully edited footage. Hacked lab reports. Documents that painted him as a con artist trying to impersonate our god. The congregation ate it up. The media ran the headlines. Cult leader claims clone is a fraud. Alistair Greaves returns? Or the biggest scam of the decade? Clone billionaire? The faithful say no. Perfect. Because now, if he made any move, he'd be the liar. And liars get crucified. Checkmate. The night after the press conference, I poured myself a drink. I had buried him before he could even take his first real step. His face was all over the news, but not as a returning messiah, as a fraudster. Now he had two choices. Disappear. Best outcome. Try to prove he was real, which would only dig his grave deeper. Either way, I won. I leaned back in my chair, smirking. Then my phone buzzed. Unknown number. I answered. Silence. Then his voice. Nice try, Pastor. The smirk vanished from my face. But you should have killed me when you had the chance. Click. The line went dead. I stared at the screen. My pulse thundered. What the fuck had he done? The clone's counterattack. I found out 3 hours later. A leaked video. A new press conference. Except this time, it wasn't me speaking. It was him. Standing on a rooftop, Alistair's face perfect, his voice commanding. They tried to erase me, he said, staring into the camera. They called me an imposter. A fraud. A clone. A pause. Then he held up a USB drive. Let me show you the truth. He plugged it into a laptop. The screen flickered. And then, my secrets spilled into the world. Bank records. Offshores. Leaked footage of me setting up the holograms, the fake resurrection. Private conversations I thought were buried forever. My empire was exposed. And the congregation turned. The collapse. I watched in horror as the unthinkable happened. My followers, my army, began to doubt me. I saw it in their eyes. On social media. In the streets. They wanted blood. The very foundation of my empire, faith, was crumbling. And as my temples burned, as my trusted enforcers disappeared one by one, I realized something chilling. He didn't need them to believe in him. He only needed them to doubt me. The endgame. I fled to my compound. The inner sanctum. The final stronghold of my empire. I locked the doors. Poured myself a drink. Listened to the angry mob outside. Then, a knock. I turned. The door creaked open. And there he stood. Alistair Greaves. Smiling. Looks like your time is up, Pastor. My fingers twitched toward my gun. He just chuckled. Let's talk about your exit strategy. Chapter 5, Playing God. I built this empire from nothing. Every lie, every manipulation, every orchestrated miracle, I made it real. Faith isn't about truth. It's about belief. If you can make people believe, you can make them do anything. Give up their money. Give up their families. give up their souls. For years, I had controlled the narrative. I was the prophet, the voice of God, the architect of prosperity. I had thousands of men and women who would die for me. Now I had one enemy, and he looked exactly like my God. Alistair Greaves, or whatever the fuck he was, had flipped my entire empire against me. My followers were questioning. My enforcers were hesitating. And worst of all, the money was drying up. I had spent years making sure the faithful funneled their life savings into my pockets, because in the end, all gods demand sacrifice. Now they were demanding something back. Answers. And I didn't have any. That was why I was here. Locked inside my compound, my final stronghold, my last sanctuary. And that was why he was here. Standing in my doorway. Looking down at me like I was the fucking servant. Looks like your time is up, Pastor. His voice was calm. Amused, even. Like he had already won. My fingers twitched toward my desk drawer, where my gun sat, waiting. But before I could reach for it, he chuckled and stepped inside, closing the door behind him. Relax, he said. If I wanted you dead, you'd already be in a ditch somewhere. That didn't make me feel any better. Then what the fuck do you want? I growled. He sat down across from me, stretching out like he owned the place. I already told you. My cut. You built a church using my face, my name, my legacy. I want my share. I narrowed my eyes. You're already rich. That's true, he said. But this isn't just about the money. He leaned forward. I want the church. A god without a prophet. I laughed. I couldn't help it. It burst out of me, raw and bitter, echoing in the empty office. You really think you can take over the church of divine prosperity? I sneered. You think just because you've got Alistair's face, people are going to bow at your feet? He smirked. I don't need them to bow. He pulled out his phone, tapped the screen, and turned it toward me. I froze. A live stream. From inside my compound. The courtyard was filled with hundreds of my followers. Only they weren't kneeling in worship. They were holding signs. Screaming. Demanding answers. Demanding me. And in the center of it all, on the massive projector screen, was a live feed of this very office. They were watching us. Watching me. Watching him. Say hello to your congregation, Pastor, he murmured. My blood ran cold. This was worse than betrayal. This was execution. If I lost control of this moment, I lost everything. The art of performance. I inhaled sharply, exhaling through my nose. Then I smiled. Because if this was a game, then I had one last hand to play. I leaned back in my chair, folding my hands. You think this is a victory? I asked. Alistair's clone tilted his head. Looks like one to me. Does it? I gestured to the phone in his hand. You've exposed me, sure. You've made them doubt. But you don't understand how faith works. I leaned forward, voice dropping into a purr. Faith isn't about proof. It's about fear. His smirk wavered just a little. You can show them my secrets. My deceptions. But in the end, what are they really afraid of? I reached out slowly, deliberately, and tapped the phone screen. Losing their god. Outside, I could hear the murmurs. I turned to the camera. And I performed. The prophet's gambit. I dropped my shoulders. Let my eyes well up with tears. Made my voice tremble. My people, I whispered. My beloved flock. The crowd outside went silent. I have led you. I have guided you. And now, the deceiver stands before us, claiming to be our Lord. I exhaled, voice breaking at the right moment. But I ask you, does God need to demand power? Does God threaten? Extort. I gestured to him, my voice rising. Or does God give? The murmurs changed. Hesitation. Uncertainty. I could feel it shifting. And then I landed the final blow. You are my people. You have always been my people. And if you no longer believe in me, asterisk I spread my arms. Then cast me out. I lowered my head. Silence. A god without followers. Alistair's clone watched, waiting for the crowd to turn. Waiting for them to crucify me. But they didn't. Because I knew something he didn't. They had already given me everything. Their money. Their homes. Their lives. If I was a fraud, then their entire existence had been a fraud. And that was too much for them to accept. So instead of doubt, they defended me. The chants began. He is our prophet. He is the true voice. Down with the imposter. I felt a slow grin creep up my face. I had done it. I had won. Alistair's clone stiffened, realizing it too late. He turned, stepping toward the door. I let him go. Because it didn't matter. He had lost. And I had just rewritten history itself. The fall of a god. By nightfall, the clone vanished. He was forced into hiding. No more press conferences. No more leaks. Because I had turned his game against him. I made him the demon. And the moment he lost faith, he lost power. Faith was my weapon. And it was unbreakable. The war isn't over. I sat in my office, sipping whiskey, watching the celebration outside. The people danced, sang, believed in me again. But I knew one thing for certain. He wasn't gone. Not yet. And the next time he came for me, I wouldn't be so merciful. The real war had just begun. And this time, I wasn't going to let him walk away. Chapter 6, Blood and Betrayal. Faith is a fragile thing. You don't have to break it to destroy someone. You only have to crack it. I had turned the tide. I had survived. My empire had been on the brink of collapse, my name dragged through the dirt, my secrets on the verge of being exposed to the entire world. But faith is a weapon. And I had wielded it perfectly. Alistair's clone had thought that simply being was enough to win. He thought that standing before my followers, breathing, talking, wearing the face of their god, would make them fall at his feet. He had underestimated something critical. Faith is not about proof. Faith is about fear. The faithful do not want to believe that they have been lied to, that they have given their lives, their souls, their fortunes to a deception. They will kill to protect that belief. And they almost did. As Alistair's clone left the compound, the crowd had turned on him. They threw stones. They spat at him. They called for his blood. He had barely escaped. But he was not gone. And I knew, deep in my bones, that this war wasn't over. No. This was just the beginning. A god without a kingdom. For 3 days he was silent. No leaks. No press conferences. No public statements. It was as if he had vanished from existence. But I knew better. A man like him? A man who had nothing left to lose? He wasn't running. He was waiting. And that terrified me more than anything else. The Judas in my ranks. The first sign of betrayal came at midnight. I was in my office, staring at the massive golden statue of Alistair Greaves that towered over the compound courtyard. I had erected it 3 years ago. A monument. A false idol. Now it loomed over me like a curse. Then, a knock. I turned as my second-in-command, Malcolm Rhodes, entered. A man I had trusted for years. A man who had built this empire with me. And the moment I saw his face, I knew. "You're with him," I said, my voice calm. Malcolm stopped. Just a flicker. Just a moment of hesitation. And that was all I needed. "What the fuck are you talking about?" he said, too quickly. I exhaled slowly. "How much did he pay you?" Silence. Malcolm didn't answer. And that was the only answer I needed. I smiled. "You know," I said, standing up, "I always wondered who would betray me first." Malcolm's jaw clenched. "You're paranoid." "No," I said, walking around my desk. "I'm realistic." I circled him like a predator. "I built this empire, Malcolm. I took nothing and turned it into a kingdom. And you were always a servant." He flinched at that. "That's what this is about, isn't it?" I whispered. "You always wanted the throne." "That's rich coming from you," he sneered. "You spent years pretending to serve someone who didn't even know you existed." My smile widened. "And yet," I murmured, "I still won." Malcolm's hand twitched toward his pocket. "A gun." I moved first. The first shot. I grabbed the lamp from my desk and smashed it into his skull. Glass shattered. He staggered back, blood streaking his face. I didn't hesitate. I lunged, grabbing his wrist before he could draw the gun, twisting it until I heard the sickening pop of his bones snapping. He screamed. The gun clattered to the floor. I kicked it away. "You really thought it'd be that easy?" I hissed, slamming him against the bookshelf. Malcolm gasped, his eyes wide with fear. "He's going to kill you," he rasped. "Alistair's coming for you." I grabbed him by the collar. "No, Malcolm." I smiled. And then I drove my knee into his ribs. "I'm coming for him." He collapsed, groaning, blood dripping down his temple. "Where is he?" I demanded. Malcolm spat at my feet. "Wrong answer." I reached for his broken wrist. And twisted. His scream tore through the room. "Where the fuck is he?" I roared. "Downtown," he gasped. "He's hiding in a fucking safe house downtown." I let go. Malcolm slumped to the floor, shaking. "Thank you," I said softly. Then I reached for the gun and pulled the trigger. No more mercy. I wiped the blood off my hands and stepped over Malcolm's body. I didn't hesitate. I didn't flinch. The moment he betrayed me, he was already dead. I called my enforcers. "We're moving," I said. "Where to?" "Downtown. We're ending this." Silence. Then, understood. I ended the call. And for the first time in this entire war, I felt calm. No more games. No more lies. This wasn't about outmaneuvering him anymore. This was about violence. It was about making a god bleed. Alistair Greaves had stolen my power. Now, I was going to steal his life. The final confrontation. By sunrise, we were in position. The safe house was an old hotel, abandoned, converted into a private sanctuary. He was inside. Alone. I didn't bother with subtlety. I stormed the front door with three of my best men. Kicked it open. Gun raised. And there he was. Sitting in the dark. Waiting. A glass of whiskey in his hand. "Took you long enough," he murmured. I leveled the gun at his head. "No more speeches," I growled. He smirked. "Then let's skip to the part where you pull the trigger." I clicked the safety off. Then, the lights exploded. Gunfire erupted from the shadows. Pain ripped through my shoulder. I staggered back, blood soaking my suit. And as I fell, as the world tilted, I saw him stand. A gun in his hand. A smirk on his lips. "I told you, Pastor." His voice was calm. "You should have killed me when you had the chance." Then, darkness. Chapter 7, The Final Judgment. Pain. That was the first thing I felt. A dull, spreading heat in my shoulder, pulsing in time with my slowing heartbeat. The second thing I felt was fear. Not the kind that grips the faithful in the pews, the kind that makes them beg for salvation. No, this was the kind that whispered, "It's over." The kind that reminded me that I was mortal. I wasn't supposed to be mortal. I was supposed to be God. And yet, here I was, bleeding, dying. And standing over me, watching with that ever-present smirk, was Alistair Greaves, or the thing that wore his face. "You really thought you could win, didn't you?" he mused, crouching beside me. I tried to move, but my limbs weren't cooperating. The room was spinning. The gunshot had taken me in the shoulder, but I could feel the blood loss slowing me down. Still, I wasn't dead yet. "You underestimate me," I rasped. His smirk widened. "No," he said, tilting his head. "I studied you. I learned your tricks. Your illusions. I let you believe you were in control. But the truth is, Pastor," he leaned in, "you were never the god. You were the fool preaching from the pulpit." I laughed, even though it hurt. "And yet you still want my throne." He chuckled, swirling the whiskey in his glass. "No. I want something better." That made me pause. "And what's that?" He took a slow sip, savoring the taste. "I want the world to watch you fall." My stomach twisted. That was when I heard it. The click. The faint hum. A hidden camera in the corner of the room, its red light blinking. A live stream. My blood went cold. The true resurrection. It wasn't just a live stream. It was a public execution. My followers were watching. The world was watching. And I was on my knees, bleeding, powerless. Exactly where he wanted me. I tried to think, to twist the moment, to salvage my image, but I was too weak. "You spent years telling them you were the chosen one," he said, gesturing to the camera. "That you were the only voice they should follow. And yet, here you are. Weak. Helpless. Human." I clenched my jaw. "They still believe in me." He laughed. Actually laughed. "No, Pastor. They believe in what you created. They believe in the idea of you. And do you know what happens when an idea gets in the way of reality?" He leaned down, pressing the barrel of his gun to my forehead. "It gets erased. The death of a prophet. The irony of it all." For the first time in my entire life, I prayed. Not to God. Not to Alistair Greaves. I prayed to the only thing that mattered. Power. I didn't ask to be saved. I asked for a way out. And then, gunfire. But not from his gun. From the door. The last betrayal. I heard the thud of a body hitting the floor. For a moment, I thought it was me. But then I saw Alistair's clone staggering back, a bullet hole in his chest. Blood bloomed through his shirt. He looked down, almost disappointed. Then he collapsed. I turned my head, every inch of movement agony, and saw a familiar face standing in the doorway. Malcolm. The man I had shot. The man I had left for dead. His arm was wrapped in bandages, his eyes dark with something that looked like pity. "Guess I wasn't as dead as you thought," he murmured. I tried to speak, but my body had nothing left. I collapsed, and everything went black. The final judgment. When I woke up, I wasn't in my compound. I wasn't even in the country. The air smelled like salt. The sound of waves crashed against a distant shore. I turned my head, pain lancing through me, and saw a large estate built into the cliffs of some paradise I didn't recognize. Malcolm was sitting across from me, a glass of whiskey in his hand. "You're awake," he said, not looking at me. I groaned, pushing myself upright. "Where the fuck are we?" "Safe," he said simply. I glanced down at my bandaged wounds. My healed shoulder. I had been out for a while. "What happened?" I demanded. Malcolm sighed, swirling the whiskey. "You lost." My stomach dropped. "The church. Gone," he said. "Shut down. Assets seized. The faithful. Scattered. You're a ghost now, Pastor. You don't exist." I stared at him. I had won. I had beaten the clone. I had turned the tide. I had survived. But I had still lost everything. "Why did you save me?" I whispered. Malcolm finally looked at me. "Because despite everything," he said softly, "I knew one thing for certain. I waited. The world still needs men like you." I let that sink in, and then slowly I smiled. Because Malcolm was right. I might have lost my empire, but I was still alive. And as long as I was alive, there was always a way to rise again. Because faith is a business. And business was never truly over. Epilogue: The proxy god rises again. Months later, the world had forgotten about me. The scandal had passed. The Church of Divine Prosperity was no more. But in a small, discreet conference room in Dubai, a new movement was being born. I sat at the head of the table, watching new investors, new believers, hanging on to my every word. "The world needs a new kind of leader," I told them. "Someone who understands how power truly works." They nodded. "Hungry. Desperate. Willing to give everything." I smiled. "Let me show you the path." The world thought I was dead. But gods never truly die. They just find new temples to rule. The end.